Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
So I'm Keith, Keith Wood. I'm not the pastor. We actually don't have a pastor. So if you're new to this assembly and you're not really familiar with what's going on, we have a pastor search committee that's looking for someone right now. And that's something that we all need to be in prayer for. That's a really, really important task that's given to them. And this morning when I was putting this message together, this I found out yesterday I was doing this, and we had a bunch of stuff going on last night, so I thought, well, you know, just do it this morning, right? So I was just looking around in the scriptures and trying to sense what God's will was, and he led me into Hebrews and a few other places, well, you'll see what you get. I want to pray and make sure that what comes out is really coming from God, and that it's tuned by him to what we all need to hear. So, Father, we give praise and glory to you. Thank you for the beautiful worship that we got to give you this morning. Thank you for revealing yourself as someone worthy of great worship and great admiration. We love you, Lord. We're really impressed with you and how you've moved in our lives and all the good that you have planned for us and for this world, and how you're breaking in and you're making it better. So this morning, we're going to be looking at your word, which is rich and full of your life, and your desire is for it to go forth and bring forth fruit. You're able to make that happen this morning. So we trust you, and we look to you with our hearts open to hear what you have to say this morning. And we want to be receptive to that and give consideration to it, and then act on the things that your Holy Spirit prompts us to pay attention to. So this morning, give me what I need to speak, and give us all open ears. Let your rich word flow richly from your rich presence. We thank you that you're here. Amen. All right, they're up there. So the first place I kind of wound up was in Hebrews, and Hebrews is a really fascinating book. Every time I go to Hebrews, I find that there's these words that connect from passage to passage, sometimes across chapters, and I've come to the conclusion that when you read Hebrews, you should read it two chapters at a time. And a really good way to read Hebrews, and actually a lot of the scriptures, I stumbled upon this a few years ago, if you're going to read all the way through a book, read the first chapter three times. And then the next time you pick that book up, the next day maybe, read the first chapter two times and the second chapter once. And then you read the first chapter once and the second chapter twice. So you're reading three chapters a day, and you cycle through that way. So it takes you about 3 days longer to read through the book, and you're reading it three times. And what happens when you do that is you start to see how the chapters connect with each other. And it's amazing how deeply they're connected. And in Hebrews, it's really profound. And when you read chapter to chapter like that, and like I did this morning, I never really saw this in Hebrews, even though I've read Hebrews this way before. But there's this term or this phrase in there called hold fast. Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. And then another one. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. And then again, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So we're being urged over and over again to hold fast onto something. And like I mentioned, we don't have a pastor right now, and there's a pastor search committee. And I really feel like, in a way, this message is to them, to encourage them, right? Because they've been at it for a while, and this is the difficult part. This is the part where different people in the room, it's become clear that they have different ideas about who that pastor ought to be. And that can be tough when there's not really agreement. And I don't know. Look, I have next to no feedback from the pastor search committee. This is just what's laid on my heart. I have no real awareness of what's going on, but I've been involved in committees and teams, and I know that when you're in one for a while, after a while, at about this stage, it's hard. It can be real hard. And so from I think God just wants to say some practical words to the search committee and in this message for us all, really, in how we hear from the Lord and how we seek his will. Because right now, when there's kind of different views about who that person should be, it gets hard to look past that and see that the other person's view, they have a view that may be just as strong, might be just as strong. And I'm not here, I don't think anybody's here to really say there's one view that's right or wrong. But if we go to the next slide, please. If we look back at these verses, instead of the hold fast term here, I want to just point out to what we're actually holding fast to in these different verses. In the first verse, we're to hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. I'll discuss these at the end. In the second one, hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. The beginning of our assurance firm until the end. And then the third one, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Our confession. Now, as I thought about these and meditated on these, I just realized, the hold fast term kind of links all these things together, but there's a little variety here in what we're holding fast to is what's being expressed. And I really think that deep in the nutshell, what he's really talking about is this faith that we have in common. And this faith that we have in common is our faith in Jesus Christ, that he rose from the dead, that his death accomplished amazing things for us, the forgiveness of sins, that he broke open the heavens so that we can have a relationship with God, that God is near to us and he has this purpose for us and this involvement in our lives, that he has a purpose in the world. And all of these things kind of come into this. And our confession, Jesus Christ the Son, our confession is that he is the Son of the living God, that he is God incarnate, Jesus Christ, who came and died and rose again and now is seated in the heavens forever and ever and ever to make intercession for us. That is, to speak to God on our behalf and to take care of the things that are obstacles between us and God. He's the one who intercedes for us. So this is our confession. And we have this assurance because, Jesus did rise from the dead. It's not just a myth. It's not a story that nobody saw and that somebody just sort of made up and talked about. The disciples, they saw Jesus. 500 people at once, at some point, saw Jesus alive. 500. And that's the story that they went out. In the end, when John and Peter and Paul and all those people were saying, we saw Jesus alive. And they turned the world upside down. And in the end, they would not deny it. It didn't matter. Like, if they were going to go to their deaths, they saw Jesus. They saw Jesus alive. And if you look at, and I've scarcely done this, but if you look at the way historical documents and historical events are verified. So if you're a historian, and say you're a professor of history in some, maybe ancient, Greek or Roman history, they have ways of sort of evaluating, how likely is this to actually be truthful. And there's actually 9 categories, and I only know a couple. But I'll share with you one. Like, if you've got an old document, and the old document is talking about something that happened, and you don't really know whether that's true, well, if that old document appears to be credible in this way, if it appears to be credible in this way, the author doesn't necessarily stand to benefit from it being true, but he's written it down anyway, right? If the author doesn't stand to benefit from it being true, but he's written it down, it's probably true. So when Luke writes about this particular governor, Quirinius, and stuff like that, it's kind of almost incidental to what he's talking about, and there's really nothing on the line with Luke writing that, right? It's like there's nothing nobody's going to make a decision about Luke or really about Jesus based on the fact that he mentions this guy Quirinius. And so that statement about Quirinius, it looks like, well, you know, that's just some extra thing that he wrote in there. There's no reason he would lie about that because it's really not that important. But in a way, it turns out to be really important because when Luke writes about Quirinius, it actually turns out that archaeologists a long time later found out that Quirinius was a real guy. And so that adds a lot of credibility to the book of Luke. So when you read the book of Luke and he's written this sort of incidental thing and it turns out, well, that's actually true, and then he writes these other things that are really important, it lends credibility to the whole thing, right? And if you look across all of these nine different things, here's another one. If a main character in the books, like Peter, Peter had some great moments and he had some pretty iffy moments. You know, he made some big blunders and big mistakes. You know, a book that only wrote really, really good things about Peter, like perfect things about Peter, it wouldn't be really that believable, because what we are trying to say about Peter is that he's actually just kind of like the rest of us, right? You know, we get it right sometimes, we really goof it up other times, you know? So the fact that there's things in there that sort of really paint Peter in, you know, an honest light, you know, a realistic light, it lends credibility to the rest of the writing because you're being honest about this guy who turns out to be really central to the whole faith, right? Peter's really, he's a main character, and God gave him the keys of the kingdom. You see him unlock the gospel on the day of Pentecost, unlock the gifts of the Spirit to the Samaritans, unlock the gospel to the Gentiles, you know, through the book of Acts, through basically the first half of the book of Acts. He's given the keys of the kingdom, and he opens these different things at different points. Peter's a central character, and yet his flaws are not glossed over. It lends credibility to it. So we have this confidence that our Savior, Jesus Christ, really actually rose from the dead. And if you've never had an encounter with him, and you're sitting here wondering why we would spend a half an hour worshiping and praising and giving glory to this God, it's because he has changed our lives, and he is alive. And you should come to know him today, right? Like, we all have praise for him for the magnificent things that he has done. So if you don't know him, talk to Craig or myself or Marty or somebody else in the church, and we will help introduce you to him because he's amazing, right? So this is what we're holding fast to, right? We're holding fast essentially to this essential aspect of our faith that Jesus is alive. He changes everything. He's involved. He's close. He has a plan, right? Next slide, please. So if you're on the search committee or you're in the room, God also has this to say in Psalm 46. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. So if you're in that difficult place on a committee or just in your life, and you're kind of wondering, like, in the committee, thinking like, everybody has a different idea, and I really want my idea to prevail. I want my kind of guy to be the guy that comes and becomes the pastor here, right? That can be a challenging place to be. But God's word to you is cease striving. Because this is his project, right? To reach the world, he sent Jesus in with this goal of breaking into this broken world and making it better, and he's not done yet. But there's a plan, and it's still afoot, and God's not far away from this. He's involved in this, and he's active. And that's why I think this cease striving and know that I am God. I am the God that is sovereign over all things. I am the God that is exalted and above everything. And it says, I will be exalted among the nations. It's like you don't have to worry about whether God is exalted. God will be exalted. He will make sure he is exalted. So if you're on the search committee, you can really, really be at peace about this aspect of God being exalted. He will take care of it. I will be exalted in the earth. Like, among the nations, in this nation, in the United States, God will be exalted. He is working toward that right now. Yeah. Sometimes it's harder to see, sometimes it's easier. But know with certainty that he is working toward that. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. In the midst of this search for a pastor, like this has gone on for a while. We've been without one for quite a number of months now. And that's taken a toll numerically on the church. Attendance really isn't what it was when we had a pastor, right? But we're sticking with being here and continuing to love our community, and we're going to keep on sticking with that because the Lord of hosts is with us, and he has a plan here. And I don't know all of the things that he's doing in people's hearts as a result of, you know, having a different face up here every week. I have no idea what he's doing. I'm just really glad to know that we have this confidence that he is involved. And he is our stronghold. Like, you know, we could look at circumstances here. I don't know what the giving is, if that's a problem. I know the finances got a little thin. Not a worry, really, not actually a worry. You know, something to pay attention to, maybe a little, but not really a worry because God is our stronghold. He is our stronghold. He's not going to let us down. It's like we're going ahead and we're looking to him. And that's the thing here is we're looking to him. We're holding fast to that assurance that we have that he's here, he's alive, and he's active, right? No worries about this. We have no need for worry whatsoever. So be at peace. And if I'm missing a little bit, and you know you're not on the search committee, I'm not on the search committee. You know, just let this speak to your life. It's like God actually is in control. I've had this brought home forcefully to me in the last week because work where I was in the company, this very large company we have around here, wasn't really very enjoyable, and I thought that a lot of things weren't being done really well for a long time. And stuff that was really meaningful to me was actually being sort of undermined. I'm a geologist, I do exploration, I try to find more gold for the mines. And in the division that I was in, giant X's had been put across the map saying, no, we're not looking here. And I thought, well, we really should be looking there, but there was no interest. And another giant X was put across the map in the past few weeks. And it's like, no, we're not looking here. It's like, that's an important corridor we need to be. Nope, we're not going there. And then, so I was like, I'm kind of looking at this thing. Like, you know, I know that you have me here for a reason, God, and that you have your hand in this. And I don't know what's going on here, but this looks like it's dead-ending pretty hard for me, for like what I'm supposed to actually accomplish. Like, if my ability to accomplish what I'm supposed to is actually being stopped by the very company who's asked me to do it, then he's got to actually come and change something, right? So if I have this assignment but I can't accomplish it, then he has to step in. Anyway, so my frustration level was really high. And yet, I attempted to varying degrees to really keep my eyes, with varying degrees of success, to keep my eyes on God. And this week, my position was changed. I'm actually going to go join one of the mine sites instead of being that division, and where I'll be able to, I know, yeah, it was a really great thing. My heart was lifted. I felt like my Savior had come through for me, and just wonderful, because I'm going to be really unchained now to accomplish stuff that I know how to do and do it in a place where it's welcome. So praise God, right? So we all, yeah, go God. I mean, let's praise for God, right? Because he did that. And he has those kinds of deliverances for all of us. For all of us. So if you're in the search committee and tough times are afoot, I think Peter has this to say in that particular context. And this actually applied to me a lot this last week. It was like, well, I'll just read this. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Like it was, couple months before would have been too soon to help me out. I needed to see more, and I needed to see his deliverance be bigger at work, right? So he left me in there, in that pot, stewing away, cooking in that unpleasant place, you know, because his deliverance, he was going to make it greater. He was going to make his deliverance greater. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So, I mean, there's a ton here. I could spend an entire hour probably unpacking all of the stuff that's in this. But I just wanted to focus mainly on this one little phrase, firm in your faith, because that's, again, if you go back to the earlier slides, really, that's what we're holding fast to. We're going to remain firm in our faith. And then all the rest of this is really encouragement and advice to stick with it when it's hard. Stick with it when it's hard. And understand, in the midst of sticking with it when it's hard, that God is the one with the plan, and you don't have to deliver the goods. God delivered the goods to me in a big way this week. And for the search committee and for you in your life, he can deliver the goods. He can deliver it when it's needed at the right time. Let's be sober about staying close to God, staying in his word, staying in prayer, staying in fellowship, staying in service. Let's be sober about those things. Continue in those things, and God will exalt you at the right time. Like, I wouldn't say in any real sense that he exalted me this week, but he took me out of a situation that he didn't want me in anymore, and he set me free. And if you need that, he's got that. He can deliver the goods. So stay sober-minded. Understand that there's an adversary, and that's why we need each other. We come here for fellowship. We come here for worship. We come to connect with God and to connect with people here, right, when we come to church. So keep doing these things. Stay sober and resist that devil and remain firm in your faith. And again, if you're on that search committee or just here in the room, there's these other verses that I just want to encourage you with. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul talking. He's writing to a church in a town called Ephesus. It was in what's now modern-day Turkey. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Right? We talked about that, the assurance of the faith that we've been called to. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's focus on that last little bit. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay, if you're in the search committee and you have a view of what this person that we're looking for should be like, everybody in the room has a view. They don't all match up. But let's circle back to one thing. God is involved. He's active. He is the one who will solve this puzzle of who this person is. He has someone picked out. The most important thing is not your view. It's what he's saying. That's the most important thing, is to hear from him. So together, you can all be unified about that, right? That's the thing that you all have in common. And it's the most central thing, is to get it right from him, right? Hear what he's saying, find out who he's pointing to, and you'll have the guy that God wants for this church, right? That's what we'll wind up. And then God will be exalted. In this church, he'll be exalted in this nation as a result of you humbly listening and saying, you know, I'm going to check my agenda at the door, but I'm going to let God speak. And I'll listen for and expect God's going to speak. He's going to speak. He's going to speak to you. He's got in mind that person. So you don't need to strive. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be the person you think it is. Right? It has to be the person God's pointing out to us. That's who it has to be. Right? So that's my encouragement to you this morning.